Welcome to another episode of the No Ceilings Podcast. I'm Tyler McKeff, joined as always by the one and only Tyler Rucker. Rucker, how are we doing?
Fantastic. Just living it up, you know. We're in the we're in August, which is really the slumdog years of gosh, I miss the draft. Starting to really miss it. I'm really getting excited. I'm watching film more already for next year. But thank you for the Olympics. Metcalf, I'm doing good. How about you?
Fantastic. I love the Olympics. I'm curious about your thoughts about them in general here in a minute. But, you know, typically we're just slogging through just brutal high school film at this point in the year. So I really appreciate the Olympics kind of coming around and you know, helping us procrastinate that film for just a little bit longer as we enjoy some really high level and really fun and competitive play so far. So some of the games have been a bit lopsided, and we'll get into all of it, but we will not be doing 4 hours of podcasting tonight like we did last week.
Can't do it.
We're just gonna have big picture reactions and all that kind of fun stuff throughout this episode. So I'm looking forward to it, and it's always fun to see these guys in a bit of a different context and different setting, different play styles, different rules, different teammates. It's always a good time. What's your relationship with the Olympics? Not necessarily just basketball, but in totality.
Like, do I enjoy watching all of the Olympics?
Do you get into track and field? Do you like?
Have you been watching rugby
sevens? Did you see the U.S. Women's Rugby Sevens finish the other day? That was incredible. It was electric. A walk off touchdown. I don't know what to call it. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Unfamiliar with the rules, but that was incredible.
I could talk now. This could be a 2-hour podcast. So I'm watching everything I possibly can. I feel like I get more excited to watch the sports I haven't like. Watched the rugby game. I was like, this is electric. This is fantastic. I could easily watch rugby all the time. And it was women's rugby. The USA team had like a bunch of speedsters and then just had like a Mike Allstott running over people. And I was like, this is fantastic. I'm really big on the swimming events.
Yeah.
I love watching that. The team relays. Some of the guys are just like absolute monsters. I'm trying to think of what else. What's your big one? Track's always fantastic. Whenever track's on, I'm like glued to that. What about you?
I love the gymnastics because it's a bunch of people doing stuff that I could never ever dream about doing in a billion years. I can barely do a somersault, let alone what they're doing. Shout out Simone Biles for pulling off the individual gold, the team gold. Suni Lee, Minnesota's own, coming up clutch at the with her floor routine today, getting the bronze after getting gold in the last Olympics. The U.S. men's team getting bronze. It's been so much fun, and we haven't even gotten into the track and field stuff yet. Sneaky contender for one of my favorite ones. Water polo is always a blast. Those people are lunatics. I don't know how they do that. But like the fencing stuff, I weirdly get into. I don't know why. I have no idea what any of the rules are besides that you have to stab someone. But those are electric. Also, sorry, I'm on.
No, I love this out of you.
Did you see the pistol shooting? The Turkish guy who got silver? Legend. Absolute legend.
We need to hype that way more. Like, the marketing team needs to hype that. That event could be just an absolute phenomenon. The screenshots going around on social media have been incredible. The memes have been incredible. There's just a lot of really fun events. Handball, I think, is kind of cool because it's like kind of basketball, but also you're like, every single basketball fan's probably watching and being like, I could probably figure this out. And it's just like unbelievable passing.
I would be lying if I told you that I didn't have the conversation with my wife above, like, I bet if I gave it a year, I could do this.
Everyone is, because they're like, oh, come on. It's like football a little bit with basketball. You don't have to really dribble. Like, it's
water,
cool.
Water polo without getting drowned every 2 seconds.
Which I'm so in on. Yeah, water polo, I would drown so fast.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. I've like tried once to like just be in the pool. How do you just tread water for that long? I'd be sinking right away. So it's been really cool to watch all of them. Simone's a freak. When she does some of the, like, she just jumps off the ground and it's like completely different person. compared to everybody else. Like, she goes three levels higher. I'm just like, this is a freak of nature. It's so cool to see. So, and then just, yeah. And then
without taking a step, it's like, what?
Did you see the USA guy on the bar?
Yeah, Steven.
I can't pronounce his last name.
But
Animal. They only brought him for that, and he just killed it. I was just like, fantastic. So yeah, it's been fun. Just all of it's been fun.
Talk about clutch gene too. I mean, just sitting around for like 3.5 hours doing nothing, and then it's like, oh hey, come nail this. And if you don't, we don't meddle. But no pressure.
I have to say one last thing, and I lied. So he was so interesting to me because he had glasses on before, and he takes them off when he's about to go, and he like clearly couldn't see. So I was like, is this guy nearsighted? Is this kind of an advantage? Because you can't see the crowd. And
so I guess he has a medical condition where his like pupils are perpetually dilated. So like he can't really even see like when he takes his glasses off. So he's just kind of feeling his way through the whole thing.
Monster. Because I was like, if he's nearsighted and he can't see, I was like, that might be an advantage. He's like zoning in. You can't see anything but the bar. But that even is more insane. So yeah, these guys are really good.
And speaking of really good, USA basketball, despite some of the reactions going around during the warm-up games and pre-qualifying games and all that kind of stuff, they seem to be doing quite all right. So as we kind of get into big picture reactions here from the first couple games of the Olympic group stages, my first one is USA basketball is just fine.
Just fine. I never was worried about Team USA figuring it out. They had too much talent. If anything, the roster's too deep, which is a real thing. It's also funny how Kevin Durant fixes everything. Like all those games are struggling. I was like, there's a very big piece that's not playing. That's very good in Olympic play. And all of a sudden you get the Slim Reaper, the 7-footer, if you want to put it that
Thank
way.
Thank God he finally is starting to embrace that nickname.
It's great.
It's the best.
It's been cool. I love the roster. It's funny. I was talking with my buddies, like everyone always, you're either a LeBron is everything person, or you're just always kind of rooting against him because he's so good. And it's so cool to finally just be like, oh, he's on our team. We're like, yeah, like LeBron's getting the ball in the fourth. I'm like, yes, give it to the beast. Like, so it's just been cool to see this team kind of together, all the different ingredients they can throw at you. And yeah, Durant, man, that dude is just unbelievable. When he's on a heater, it's like, oh gosh, just everyone get out of the way, let this guy take over.
And he's basically done that his entire career for USA basketball, where it's kind of incredible that he's just emerged as arguably the greatest USA basketball player of all time. I know that feels like a hot take, but when you go back and look at his performances, how he shows up, what he's done in fourth quarters, what he's done in big games, and it's incredibly consistent every single time. I'm not so sure that he hasn't reached that level, or at least isn't in very serious consideration for it.
It's my favorite thing to watch is who's the stars that like really cook with FIBA play or playing overseas in the Olympics. Like Carmelo Anthony was a fantastic NBA player. That dude is probably on your Team USA. Like if you ever wanted a guy, you're getting Carmelo Anthony for peak Olympic. He was everything. It was like at a point in his career, it was like, if Melo's not on the team and not in the starting five, what the heck are we doing? Cause he's just perfect for that game. I think like Kevin Love even was like a good fit off the top of my head. There's just a lot of guys where you could struggle to fit for the Olympics, or you could just blossom and be like, this is everything. I know we'll have plenty of guys that I feel like one of the guys that I think is struggling is Embiid. And I completely understand why he's struggling, because it's just a different type of beast with playing like FIBA rules and everything. But I also think he's the ultimate joker, the ultimate wild card for the team. Like Embiid starts getting cocky and feeling it, you're going to be like, we can't take him out. We got to let him just roll. If he doesn't have it, all right, get him out. But you know what I'm saying? Like there's just some guys that the game's perfect for. Some guys just struggle.
All right. Yeah, I like this. So let's do a bit of a compliment sandwich here. So we started out with the good. We'll end with the good. But let's touch on some of the not so good. You mentioned Joel Embiid, who unfortunately kind of got cooked by Jokic, who was cooking everyone and almost single-handedly kept Serbia in that game far longer than they should have been. We'll get to more of him later. And Jason Tatum, who also, you know, kind of is now tied with Joel Embiid and DNPs by the coach, and didn't exactly shine when he got the start in game two. So do you have anything to say about Tatum, or do you just want to lay out?
Well, I don't understand what, here's the problem. I had a lot of thoughts the day of, then I was like, okay, let's calm down a little bit. The problem is Durant's back. He's red hot. He can't miss.
Yeah.
I think he didn't miss until like the fourth quarter. So that's Tatum's minutes. And if you're not playing Tatum in the first half, why are you going to suddenly just force him in there just to play him? I get why they didn't play him. Yes, I understand it's Jason Tatum. He's an all NBA guy. They should have found a way to play him, but you didn't. And you're not going to, you know, you find a rotation as a coach in the middle of the game. You're not going to just all of a sudden be like, oh, hey, Kerr, we haven't played JT. Oh, gosh, I got to figure it out. No, you're rolling with whatever you got. It's medal time. You're trying to actually win some games. So it makes sense, like, going matchup-wise. It makes sense why they benched Embiid. I still think Bam and AD are just, like, the moment they put the roster together, I'm like, Bam's a fantastic big for FIBA play. AD is AD. So I was like, those guys are going to be there when you need them at the end. And I thought Embiid was just the ultimate, like, if he's on fire, we're going to have him out there. But no, I'm not worried about Tatum.
No, should you be.
But it goes to, you know, you can't be an ISO scorer with a team like this. You got to be able to move the ball. You got to be able to play in the system. You got to be able to create for others. I think Tatum's shown that he can be a playmaker, but there's also just a lot of like alpha mentality that you have to sacrifice on these teams. And I think a lot of those guys get it that have been around. I think a lot of the younger guys still are like trying to kind of, you know, pump their chest out a little bit, but no, I'm not worried about Tatum. Not worried about it, Metcalf.
No,
like if they didn't play Ant, would you be like, what the hell are they doing? Yes.
Yeah, because he's incredible. But
you'd also be like, I know how good Ant is, so I'm not worried about it. It's one of those things.
No, I don't think you should be worried. And so you said a lot of very good stuff there. But when you're talking about kind of the stylistic play, that's what's really stood out to me. I've really liked their ball movement. It hasn't devolved into a lot of kind of ISO scoring. And we've seen a lot of these guys who basically every single one of them is the superstar on their individual NBA team. And we're seeing almost all of them scale down into role players in some form or fashion, where there isn't just one player just single-handedly taking over a game and scoring 40 every night and going ISO ball and, you know, trying to dictate their mismatch on every single play. Everyone's eating. And, you know, you mentioned some of Tatum's playmaking stuff where, and he had a couple times where he, I think one was out of a pick and roll, another one was attacking a closeout where he got to the rim, dumped off to Bam or AD, and they got an easy dunk. Anthony Edwards has done a really good job of kind of collapsing the defense, kicking out, creating those swing passes, those swing opportunities. Everyone's just kind of playing their role. And when all of these guys don't have those immense amounts of offensive responsibilities, we're also seeing how fucking good these guys are on defense too, where I know we get flashes of it from them in the playoffs or in single games or late in games and stuff. But now that they're only playing 20, 25 minutes a night and not having to create everything on offense too, we're seeing guys like Ant and Booker and Drew, and he does that all the time anyways, but even like LeBron and KD just lock up defensively for the entire time they're on the court. It's like, my God, just the size and athleticism and just defensive advantages that this team has, without even talking about the offensive stuff, just puts them ahead of basically anyone else in the field.
It, you know, the Olympics really show with like when you have a roster like this, I think it kind of impresses me more when you're a star that just rapidly adapts to a new role. Like Booker, I have to give so much credit. I've always liked Booker.
He's been some awesome. Big standouts. Yeah,
he's been really like just kind of buying. He's just bought in so fast of being like, okay, I'm playing, you know, unselfish basketball. Like, and I'm never like Suns fans, calm down. I'm never saying he's that guy, but on his team, he is the guy now with KD, but you're seeing just how quickly he can adapt to being like playing team basketball, moving the ball, making the right reads. And it's always funny when like the guy that's not the biggest superstar has to play in these games. Like Derek White, I'm not just saying these guys because they're Celtics, but Derek White and Jrue Holiday, you have to have these guys on a roster because they don't have to be the guy. They just have to play their role. Like they ran out a lineup of, it was Derek White. I think it was Derek White, Drew, or no, it might've been Derek White, Anthony Edwards, but basically it was like KD, Bam, and AD. And I was just like, good luck. Like they were just destroying people with their defense. And I was just like, good luck. Like, what are you supposed to do? And then you get Ant and KD that can go nuts offensively. You have two of the best defensive bigs in the world and Kevin Durant. So I was just like, all right, have fun with that. And it's just cool to kind of see the different rotations, lineups you can throw out there. And I think that's a big part of this whole process. And with Kerr, you're trying to figure out how everyone can match together. I think that bench lineup gets really scary, like in a positive way, especially with the defense. So it's been cool to see a lot of guys look good.
Yeah, because even if they do a full line rotation, they're bringing in five guys who are better than the other team's starters still. There just isn't that drop-off. And I just kind of want to wrap up at least my USA thoughts with Bam Adebayo. Yeah. He looks incredible. And I think one of the biggest improvements is obviously that he's shooting it. And when we think about how real is it, how important is it, obviously for this Olympics, it's important because it makes playing him with AD or, you know, really anyone else a little more feasible. But then we think about next season for the Heat and what that could mean with their lineups and their rotations. We saw how good Khalil Ware was in summer league. We saw how good he was with Indiana all last year. But the whole kind of thought process was, are they going to be able to play him and Bam together? Because Ware's percentages have been solid from outside, but I think his shot is still a little more theoretical than actual. And Bam has never had that track record of really shooting it and spacing the floor. So playing the two together is fun in terms of a defensive and rebounding standpoint, but it's like, is the spacing really going to get screwed up? And now that we've seen Bam steadily stretch his range in NBA context over the last couple of years, and now really stretching it to three for not prolific shooting, but a couple a game, that's really huge. And that could lead to a lot of really fun lineup stuff with the Heat next year.
You know, we should have talked about this probably earlier, but I'll bring it up now. I'm a big believer of the Olympic play confidence builder to carry over into just another fantastic season.
You see it with almost everyone, every time.
Klay was a big one. Klay Thompson was a big one back in the day. Like, I think I'm even saying, like, if you're in those Team USA select, just to be there, get that experience, and then all of a sudden carry it over to the season, you usually have a jump. And I think you could also see it with veterans. Bam is quickly becoming, like, you have to have him for the Olympics. He's got to be on the roster no matter what. I think he's one of the best bigs for Olympic play. And I also just think Bam's just an absolute stud. Like, he is that good. I think, you know, he's so good defensively. He's always in the running for defense play of the year. I think it's just, there's a lot more of his game offensively that we're always just wanting more. And I don't know if it's fair. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I think we're always like, he could do more, but they have so many weapons. So I feel like I'm always like, you know, when they're playing the Celtics, I'm always like, every time Bam passes it when he's in the mid-range, I'm like, fantastic. Because I know you can hit that. I know you could take over. I just think he's an absolute star and underappreciated in a weird way. Like, maybe we don't realize just how good he is. And then the Olympics, he always reminds us, like, no, he's a beast. You could play him at the five. You could almost play him at the four with him and AD. And the outside shot comes around, like, oh, gosh. You know, he's the type that really could have a career year, and we're like, there we go. We're finally really unlocking another level with him.
Totally agree. Well, someone else who is looking like an absolute beast and someone who could be in for a career year and what's been a very early and young career is Victor Wembanyama, who we will get to right after this quick break. Okay, Rucker. Victor Wembanyama. Turns out he is pretty, pretty, pretty darn good.
Pretty good. What have you liked? Yeah, that's a heavy question.
What haven't I? The defense, the joy that he's played with, the competitiveness, that's something that feels like we haven't seen consistently from him. Not saying that he's unhappy in San Antonio and nothing like that. It's just different when these guys wear the jersey of their home country, and especially playing for the French national team in the Paris Olympics. That's huge. And you can see how much that means to him when he's out there and blocking shots over and over and over and over again, when he's finishing layups in the first row under the hoop. I mean, his length is absurd. But you can just feel how much this means to him, how proud he is to be out there, how excited he is to be out there, and that he's capitalizing and performing at an extraordinarily high level.
I know what you're talking about. It's not like he's never played the game with joy. I get what you're saying. He's playing with way more emotion now.
Yeah.
Like he's, I think he even like said after a three, he's like, oh yeah, fuck you. It's like, yeah. He looks like a guy that went through his rookie year. Now, like you're saying, he's playing for France, pumped out of his mind, is a little cocky in a good way. He's feeling himself. The fact that he's living in the post now, not all the time, but the fact he's going there and hunting it is terrifying, because he has moves you can't stop. Like he has some moves that you're like, no one can stop this. You have to be like predicting it before he did it and have length to stop it. Like he has a little turnaround. I think he had one where he had like a turnaround little mini KG shake, like in the middle jumper. And I was like, you can't get up there to block that. Like he could do that every time if he wants. And now he's letting the three ball fly. He looks awesome. I'm very excited for the next 15 years. he just does stuff, Metcalf, you can't explain. And if it just keeps getting better, there's going to be points where you're like, you can't do anything. You can try, but he just positions himself. I know you posted that tweet with that reverse layup. And it's like, what are you supposed to do? You cut off the baseline and all of a sudden he reaches around and could still lay it up. And you're like, what? What am I supposed to do?
And he had another drive where he drove through across the middle of the lane, took off outside of the restricted circle while his momentum was taking him to the opposite sideline, and still dunked it with his left hand. It's like, you are 5 feet away from the rim, sir. This is illegal. You cannot be doing this. These people have families.
But he's actually like, he's actually like got that little killer instinct now, yeah, of like, I'm going. Like, and me and you always said we wanted that toughness, that little like edge of like, I don't need to settle. I'm getting downhill and I'm bigger than everyone. I feel like now he's unlocking it, which is holy crap scary for everyone.
And that really popped in their first game against Brazil, where they kind of got off to a slow start. And then I think it was like mid second quarter, he just took over. He changed everything on both ends of the floor and just single-handedly took over an Olympic game at his age. Now, I know Brazil isn't a international powerhouse, but they've got some solid players. They're not, you know, chumps. They're decent. And the fact that he just shifted everything at his age is really fun. That's really, really fun, especially when we look at France kind of going forward, because the rest of this team is really, I'll be kind and say, underwhelming for right now. They're starting Gobert with him, who has been iffy. The fact that they're not constantly staggering those two is blowing my mind, because France kind of got cooked by Japan when they sat both of them. And Fournier and Batum have had flashes, but they were really bad against Japan. And when those guys aren't knocking down shots, it's like, oh boy, where else is the offense coming from?
Come on, give Strazel some love. And Japan's like point guard is so electric.
Oh, he's so much fun.
Everyone gives him crap because of his size. And I watched like the game before that, and I was like, this dude can fucking play. Like, he was just throwing dimes. He was, like, really feisty. I was like, I love this. France, yeah, I don't know what you're doing if you're not playing him and Victor together. I get if you're, like, worried about matchups if the other team's playing small and trying to, but it's like you have two giants, play them together.
But I don't think both can be on the bench at the same time. One of them has to be on the floor every single minute. And against Japan, they were sitting both of them for like extended minutes. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you can't do that. I understand if you were like, hey, we can get a little run with them and then take one out and keep the other one on the court and then switch, but you can't put both of them on the bench at the same time. So yeah, I mean Victor's just, it's very, very fun. It's very, very fun when he's training. His footwork has really popped to me. He's really starting to feel how he can just overwhelm people with his feet in the post. So if that keeps trending, I've wanted that since he was a prospect, since I saw him in person. I was like, please unlock this level. You'll be just a terrifying human being. And now it looks like it's starting to happen. And I'm like, oh gosh. Shout out Tim Duncan. He's probably working in the lab with Victor.
And just kind of final thoughts on France. I'd like a little more from Bilal Coulibaly. I know he's only getting about 10 minutes a game. Youngster out there. Also, are you a little surprised that he's kind of the only French youngster who made this team? As in no Alex Sarr, no Reece Hoshea.
They're not going to play Sarr.
I'm not saying that they would necessarily play, but
it's just too much. They would never have any break. Guys ever do that.
Why would the national team care about that?
No, I'm saying the players probably do. They would have been. No. That would have been.
No, they would have gone in their 60. Their home Olympics. They would 100% play join that team.
I'm saying Richie would have gone 60 games in the regular season to a draft combine overseas to summer league to the Olympics, then to the NBA. There's no way.
Well,
you'd have to skip
summer league.
Yeah, you should. I mean, he should have, but no, they're going to be on the teams forever. I'm not worried about it.
Just tough not to make your home.
You think Sarr's playing minutes?
No, I don't think either of them would necessarily play. I think Reece Hoshea might have.
I mean, given what their
Fournier in that court look like.
No, but I mean,
he's not getting minutes over Gershon, who's been electric.
Yes, Gershon is my boy. I love Gershon. Yabu needs to get another chance in the league. He's just too much fun. He's a fun wrinkle. He's been killing it overseas.
He's been shooting the crap out of the ball.
Dude, he's fun. He's just a pit bull. He's just a bowling ball and could shoot. You're just like, oh gosh. So, I don't know. They'll be on the team forever. I wish they'd play Coulibaly more, but I get you're probably Fournier and Batum's last hurrah. Maybe.
I feel like we've been saying that for a decade.
We've been saying it forever. But yeah, I get it.
All right. Well, we've seen how Gershon has thrived in a new context, and he's not the only one where we have guys like Giannis and Jokic continuing to show that they are kind of inarguably the best players in the world yet again, as they're single-handedly keeping their teams in games. And we're also seeing guys like Josh Giddey and Dyson Daniels really elevate their games to new levels after struggling in an NBA context for whatever reason over this last season. When we kind of think about seeing these guys in a different context, how much weight do you put on it? How encouraged do you get? Do you care at all?
My easy answer would be like yes to all. Are you in that same boat? Like Jokic, I guess I'm trying to see, like, because they're going to usually be in a different system, because there's a lot of chemistry with, like, playing with those guys over the years. Even if, you know, these guys are in the NBA, you're still familiar with playing with your Olympic guys. So Jokic, like, is playing with a lot of creative, like, playmakers and guys that can get him the ball in different roles. But you're still also, like, Serbia also knows, like, let's get the ball to fucking Nikola Jokic and let him create. Giannis scares me.
I
might be betting Giannis for MVP next year. he looks terrified. He looks insulted. Like he's playing very angry, and it's a joy to watch because he had a couple. He's in that Shaq mode where like someone said once that like, oh, it's the closest. I think maybe even probably Shaq actually. He's like, it's the closest thing to me. And I was like, that might not be that crazy of a comment. And then now I'm seeing it. I'm like, he's very impressive right now with how much he wants to just destroy people. His footwork again is looking awesome.
It is him and SGA. We'll get to Canada in a minute here, but the just watching the way those guys move and their footwork, their balance, their change of pace, it is otherworldly. It is absolutely incredible.
I think that's the biggest thing that stood out is like, I like watching guys like Giannis. I'm like, I know what you're going to do at the NBA level, but like, it looks like he's clearly buying into this bully ball post up moves down low. Like, I've always dreamed of like, oh, if he had a post up game where he could just counter someone with his footwork and just be like, oh, next to the rim, I'm going to dunk it. Cause I don't care about him shooting the three ball. If he could just navigate to get downhill and just, he just looks nasty down there. And it looks like it's a different mentality, which is why I'm horrified of him in the Bucks next year. But I thought he looks outstanding.
Yeah. And like when you talk about his footwork and his post game, it's not just with scoring. The way that his playmaking has grown year over year over year over year for throughout his entire career has been incredibly impressive. And it feels like it was so much more on display in this, in, you know, with Greece in these first couple games, especially in that game against Canada, where I mean, he's just constantly collapsing the defense and flaring it out to shooters. I know he does this with the Bucks all the time too, and had awesome assist numbers this year with them as well. But in this context where he is the sole creator, he is the Alvin Omega, he is everything for that team. It just feels different. And that kind of passion and intensity that we talked about with Victor is fully on display with Giannis as well. And we know how much it means to him to play for that team and have that jersey on his shoulders. And it shows his passion, his intensity. It is so much fun. And then when you combine all of that with his footwork, athleticism, passing, driving, defense, rebounding, he just continues to prove that he is kind of a singular talent.
He just looks, you know, in tight windows, like I'm saying, if he was crashing the glass before offensively, I feel like in tight windows, he always seemed like he would just rely on power only. Now it feels like he's very certain of like how to maneuver his way around you with like, he's actually using his feet now to like get you to bite and then attack. And that's where it's scary. It's like, that part's really slowing down. Because, you know, what you asked in the beginning was like playing in a different context. I think they've had to kind of have him be the big man in a weird way. Like he's got to crash the glass and everything. So that's been really fun to watch because I'm like, this is very scary. And then, you know, going back to your point about playmaking, I remember Doc Rivers did a pod with Bill Simmons. And he's like, Bill was like, hey, what shocked you about Giannis? And he said the playmaking immediately. Yeah. I'm shocked of how good of a playmaker he is. You see it all the time in practice. So I think there's just a scary another level that Giannis is going to remind people this year. You know what's funny, Metcalf? He's the superstar I feel like we always underestimate. Like, I think it's just we all are like, oh, he's a bully. Yeah, he gets downhill. He puts up good numbers. But I'm like, I always think Giannis is going to be in the conversation. Like, if you were starting a franchise, he's going to be in that conversation. I just because you're just getting a relentless motor, nasty physical advantage. He's a beast. Like he's dominant. So I just love watching him play. He looks fantastic to me. I think he's gonna have a very big year for the Bucks.
I think when we talk about this thriving in a different context, the other two guys that really have stood out to me so far have been Josh Giddey and Dyson Daniels. Yes. What have kind of been your reactions to those two guys with Australia?
Daniels looks incredible.
His defense is terrifying.
Yeah. He looks like if I was a Hawks fan, I'd be pumped out of my mind. You know, he's 21 still.
Yeah. He's a baby.
I just don't like, I get why the Pelicans made that trade, but I also was like, seems like one of those like, hey, you maybe gave up on that one too early. But I also just think that was a tough fit for Daniels to really mm-hmm. spread his wings because they had so much depth. I think he looks awesome. I think he looks really damn good. You got to remind yourself that he's 6'6 with that defensive ability. But I think offensively, he looks bigger. I think offensively, he looks very like certain, taking that next step, understands where he can get his advantage. What about you?
The defense has really popped, and he looks comfortable. He looks confident out there. The big selling point with him always has been, and probably always will be, the defense. And it's incredible. And when we think about him with the Hawks next year, it's like, that could be a lot of fun next to Trae Young. Now, instead of throwing Trae Young on the opposing point guard, let's go hide him literally anywhere else on the court. And we're just going to have Dyson pick up guys three quarters court and disrupt their offense and be an absolute menace at the point of attack. What really stood out to me, though, in these couple games was just the confidence with his spot up shot. He's not taking a ton of them, but when the ball swings to him and he's wide open, he's shooting it. And against Spain, he made a couple. That's the big step with him, where he just kind of has to take it. It reminds me a lot of the conversations we've had about like Steph Castle over the last year of when the defense is closing out to you 15 feet short, you got to shoot it. Like, you can't just do nothing. And with New Orleans, I feel like we never really saw that confidence pop. We never really saw it come through. And he always looked hesitant. And with Australia, he looks confident. And it's not at a prolific rate, but it's at a rate where, and a success rate too, where defenses have to at least think about it. And then that opens up stuff for him to drive and attack closeouts or make that extra pass and just kind of keep the defense on their heels just that extra split second more.
I mean, he's going to be perfect for Atlanta. I think he's going to be a guy that really takes a huge step forward. Like, that's the Olympic guy that gets the confidence surging again, kind of, you know, has a little bit of a rebirth with that confidence of like, okay, I got it. Got my swagger back playing overseas. I played good. And now I'm going to my new team and they're going to have more of a role for me. And he could be a fantastic running mate for Trae with, like how you said, you can put him on defensive assignments. And I think, you know, Daniels also is just really good at being that connecting guy. You can play him off the ball and he can make the right read. So if that shot is coming around just on a respectable level, Trey's going to score.
Yeah.
Now Daniels is the guy that you can just keep out there to play high level defense, switch, and make the right passes. Like, I've always been very intrigued. I thought it was going to take a little bit of time to find his groove. And we always say sometimes that new team could be everything you're ever looking for. I think Hawks fans should be very pumped about him in the mix.
Yeah. And I know Bulls fans were not thrilled about the Giddy for Caruso trade, but
I'd be excited now.
I think we're seeing why they should be and why they kind of bought Giddy at his low. And with the Thunder, he was mostly in an off-ball role because, of course, he was. Look at who their point guard is. With Australia, he's more in that initiator role that I think we're going to see him be in with the Bulls, and he looks fantastic. The rim pressure, the playmaking, the defense has been fine. He's knocked down and, you know, confidently taken a handful of threes. He looks really, really good.
He looks awesome. If a team puts the ball in his hands, Josh Giddey is going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be very good. If you play him off the ball like the Thunder, I completely understand why the Thunder traded him. We're talking about the on-ball stuff, our on-court stuff, by the way.
Yeah.
I understand why they traded him. It was time. It didn't fit right. You needed to go a different direction and get a better piece of the puzzle. Now, I love the Chicago buying low. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very smart because it's a great, you know, if you're thinking, hey, we're losing Caruso, and we could probably swing with a really high upside piece, I get it. Giddey is a stud on the court. He just needs the ball. You got to get him the ball.
Yeah, he can't purely play off ball. He has to be a point guard. Now, can he play off ball, play off of Kobe White? You know, occasionally, yes. But for the bulk of the time he's on the court, he needs to be initiating the offense. And when he is, like we're seeing with Australia, he's a big-time player.
it's just funny watching their games, like how quickly you're just like, man, Giddy's just good. Like you remind you remember the prospect of like, man, he's fine. If you just let him have the ball. Yeah, just the playmaking, some of the reads. He had a couple threes where I'm like, okay, like at least you're shooting it with confidence. He had one he made where I was like, yep, I remember. It's a little ugly. And I just
like, yeah, he kind of has like that awkward like step forward push shot where it's not pretty.
It's not pretty.
But it went in a couple times. So,
but he's like that. You have to have the ball in his hands because he can make so many things happen for everyone.
Yeah.
And if you have to play him off the ball, you're removing what's this advantage for that position for your team. So, I like it. I didn't love the trade at first.
Yep.
Because I thought Chicago was going to get more stuff for Caruso. Would have tried to get some picks. But if you're just like, hey, we're all in on getting this, you got Giddy at a low price. He's still very young. Just like Daniels, going to play overseas, get your confidence back is a perfect way to carry it over for the NBA season. So he looks really good.
Totally agree. Let's take our final break and we'll wrap up our Olympic thoughts right after that. Okay, the kind of last team-specific topic that I wanted to talk about and that has really popped for me is how Canada's kind of giving us a preview of what the OKC Thunder backcourt could look like next year, where they have Dort, SGA, and Dylan Brooks out there, and defensively they have been outstanding, and now for the Thunder, just kind of substitute or upgrade, if you want to be that bold, Dylan Brooks for Alex Caruso. And oh my God, defensively, that team is going to be insane. Now, I know that shouldn't be a shock or some new revelation. All three of those guys are very good at defense. But when we've been watching this Canada team, and SGA is their third or fourth best perimeter defender on the court, that is just an insane amount of defensive talent. And now the Thunder, who are just the one seed, are going to be able to do something similar and have SGA, who is one of the league leaders in steals and deflections all year, continue to take more of those defensive responsibilities off of him by introducing even more high-level defenders. The perimeter players and the perimeter defense, especially with this Canada team, has been a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, you know how I am. I mean, me and you can watch the defensive side of the ball for days. I feel like that's one of the most exciting things. Like, that's why I loved Ryan Dunn. Every time Virginia missed a shot, I was like, awesome, I'm in now. Let's watch some defense. But I always have respect. Like, that's my favorite thing to watch when I'm even watching a game or just a fun team. It's like, if you're just a unit defensively that you can just really wreck some shit out there, I'm all in. I'll watch relentlessly. So, like, in what we're thinking, a hypothetical of for the Thunder of SGA, Caruso, Dort, J-Dub, Chet as like your.
But then they still have Hartenstein. And
well, I was just saying that lineup for is like, hey, this is the defensive stopper lineup with the switchability. Probably.
And, you know, that's not even that's ignoring guys like Case and Wallace.
Yeah.
And, you know,
they have very fun, like Mark's going to have fun. Some very fun rotations to, you know, roll with. I love it. You know, watching the Team Canada team, like it is a nice little preview of what it could be. I just SGA, man. I don't, if you want to keep going about the defense or
no, to take it whatever way you want.
He's incredible with this team because he hits the light switch and it's just like, oh gosh, here it comes. Like it every time down, he's so good at like, you think you have him just completely like stopped and then throws another little hesitation and just buys his window. He's so good at getting that last little separation and he just hits some shots. You're just like, my goodness, this dude's a bad man. So always love watching him and he just is really good about getting to his spot. If you stop him, he's like, I can get right back there and get where I want. Like really good chess player.
I was lucky enough to kind of see him in person during the season when they were in town and I was covering the Timberwolves. And, you know, there was a lot of talk about, oh, is he just another one of these foul grifters? And, you know, he's foul baiting and flopping all the time. And because his free throw numbers were pretty outlandish. But then you watch him warm up. You watch the things that he focuses on, the balance stuff, the footwork stuff, the form shooting on the interior and the mid-range. And then you watch just seeing it in person, it's different. And it's not the foul bait. You know, obviously there's some of that, like there is with every superstar, but it's foul creation. It's shot creation. It's the tiniest of windows that he needs to get a shot off or to draw a foul or to get a defender to bite and then counter that. It's really incredible stuff. When we talk about the mid-range game dying or being exclusively for the superstars, I think he's kind of the poster boy for that with this new era, because his ability to get to wherever he wants, and like you said, just it's just effortless, and that it's chess, and he's just playing at warp speed while everyone's desperate to catch up. It's really special stuff, and that combination of footwork, balance, and kind of mid-range shooting and shot creation, it's really special, and it's not a combination that we typically get. And him being at this level already on multiple different stages has been an absolute joy to watch.
Yeah, the foul baiting is not there. There's a version of it that's an art. There's a version of it that sucks. That I'm like the old, you know, oh, just get a guy and just go jump into him. That one drove me insane. But being able to get people to bite and then getting to the free throw line, that is a skill. That is an art. He's fantastic at it. He's very good.
And they're very legitimate fouls. So I hope that didn't come across as me complain about it. It's more admiration and him just putting the defenders in a bad spot on every single possession.
It's knowing how to toy with your defender.
Yeah.
You get them second guessing. He is so good at getting you to second guess. Like, oh, I've got you figured out. And he's like, no, you don't. Cause now I'm going to change up everything. I'm going to throw a complete curveball at you. And you're like, how do I figure this guy out? And he just has so many different ways he can hit you with, you know, a step back. He can hit you with a little step through. One of the games I feel like he was doing everything to score. Like, I was just like, you couldn't figure out a way to stop him. Like, oh, I'm going to make him shoot this. He's hitting a tough fadeaway. He's hitting a couple shots, like off the glass, like step through. It's just the dude's versatility offensively, like getting to that mid range, like you're saying, but being able to have a bag of tricks off of that, in which he's just like, I can figure out a way to get a bucket. You could do anything to stop, but all I need is just a little bit of hesitation. And he's a joy to watch. Every time I watch SGA, I feel like, gosh, this guy is so good. Like, it's just every time I'm watching him, he's so special because of his footwork at that size. He's really good at creating just the smallest windows, like we talked about. And that's the change of pace guy. Like, when you're evaluating, that's exactly what you want. He knows how to play with so many different gears and just to be a disaster to guard. Because you're like, he just keeps changing speeds. You're just a sports car that goes from like second to fifth to third. You're just like, what the heck, man? Like, so I love watching him.
It's just one of the few guys where regardless, or he's kind of graduated into that appointment viewing where it's like, oh, SGA is playing tonight. Hell yeah. I'm definitely tuning in. And then you kind of combine it with, you know, from an NBA context, the rest of that Thunder team and their play style and Jalen Williams and Chet and, you know, everyone else on that team, it's like, they're going to be so good. They're going to be so stinking good. The rest of this Canada team, I've been a little underwhelmed by. Dylan Brooks is doing Dylan Brooks things. Lou Dort is a menace on defense, but their bench and their lack of size, I think, are really kind of concerning. Saying that the bench is a concern when you have Jamal Murray coming off the bench is a ridiculous statement on its own, but In their first game against Greece, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Jamal Murray, and Nembhard combined for 10 points on 3 of 12 shooting. In their second game, that trio combined again for 10 points on 3 of 15 shooting. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has yet to make a shot in their first two games. Not great. Also, their starting center is Dwight Powell. Sorry, Dwight. Not trying to kind of throw you under the bus here, but that's a bummer for a team with that lopsided of perimeter talent. So I love this Canada team. They're so much fun, but they really need their bench to step up and show up. And if they really want to make a deep kind of medal run.
The bench, the lack of production off the bench is very weird. It's also going to be funny in 4 years when the lack of size goes to 7'6". When Edie comes into the picture, that team's going to look a little different. When they have SGA and Edie and Nembhard probably taking another step. Goodness. But it is weird. Like they feel like they just should have a little bit more firepower. Barrett's been playing good. Mm-hmm. He always makes me around Olympic time think like, oh, is the RJ jump happening? And then doesn't. So, it's weird. Very weird. Kelly Olynyk, shout out Kelly. They need some more horses.
All right. Let's wrap up the Olympic talk here with just any other thoughts.
France.
Let's talk about him.
You know what? I think he's like top three for me of I'm watching a guy and just in disbelief with like how good he is and how good he still could become.
Yeah.
He is so damn good right now off the bounce of just like reacting. His counters are getting horrifying. I watched a couple of those games. He put, was it against Japan? He had a counter against Japan off the bounce where I was like, oh my, but it's the playmaking. Like just one of those guys I keep saying, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff really coming together fast. The outside shot, if it just is a little bit better. But I also think he's one of those players, McAfee, he's so dominant off the bounce and around the basket and such good feel. Like, it's not overly worrying to me. Like, everyone's like, oh, the shot has to be. I'm like, yes, we would like it to be respectable, but he's just, whew. They're going to have shooters around him and Paulo this year. It's going to be unbelievable. What do you think about Franz?
He looks fantastic. Just the pick and roll the pick and roll growth has been outstanding, and the rim pressure. It's the fact of how many different ways he's getting there. And there's one where he kind of put his, I think it was out of the pick and roll, put his defender in jail, and then got the drop defender to step up to him, and then he just changed up the stride length and really threw off the defenders, put them in a bad spot, and then had the strength to finish through the contact, through the foul. And it's like, oh my God, like that is superstar level stuff. Like we don't see guys that size, that age doing that stuff consistently, and he's doing it over and over and over again. So when we kind of think about the Magic's front court creation, honestly, because it's going to be mostly him and Paolo, my goodness, just the different types of stuff in terms of mid-range creation, mid-range scoring, rim pressure, rim scoring, playmaking out of different areas for guys that size, it's really, really fun. I would love if he shot better. He's at least shooting it confidently. His form looks a little funky.
It does, but I also
feels
like
was a
it
lot
like
lower.
That?
I don't know. I feel like it wasn't like that always at Michigan, but
someone pointed that out. He's got like the weird, it's like an extra step now to get himself squared up. Yeah, someone pointed that out on Twitter and I was like, has he been like that? I don't know. It seems like a step to like get the ball positioned and then go up. And I'm like, did we always have that? It bugged me. Now I'm going to like go back. And I swear I was like, I think I'm losing it. And I was like, I want to see if Metcalf says this on the air because it bugs me now. And I'm going to have to go watch the Michigan film and go back and down that lane. But yeah, it's funny you said that. But he does look fantastic.
Yeah, he looks very good. I think Santi Aldama with Spain has been kind of fun. Not doing a ton, but shooting the crap out of it. Looks really fun as a shooter at that size. Some really nice kind of ball movement stuff, rebounding really well. It'll be interesting, some of the lineups that Memphis could potentially run out. Jacques Landale has turned into prime Rasheed Wallace. Just the dude has turned into a three-level scoring machine with Australia. Just an absolute monster.
I love Summer Metcalf. What a comment. Prime Sheed. Wow.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'll get a better reaction out of you than calling Nadir Hefi French Judiments, but
yeah, you're right. That's back to back weeks of you throwing straight heat. Goodness.
Also, South Sudan, a lot of fun.
They are a lot
very
of fun.
Cool story. Very cool story, and a lot of kind of like fringe NBA guys with Wenyen Gabriel, Carly Jones,
JT Thor,
Kaman Maluak. I keep
summer,
hearing his name.
It's summer. We get to practice.
I keep hearing his name pronounced differently, so I apologize. I promise I will get it down eventually. And it's really irritating because I was practicing it all day, and I just butchered it. Just the worst. We get 55 minutes into the pod, and it's just...
No, I've done it all the time. Everyone thinks like, no, I've spent like 20 minutes before practicing a guy's name, get on the air, completely forget.
Just... letters and pronunciations mean nothing. Out the door.
We should do a fine jar this year. Anytime we say it wrong, just add it. Give it to charity.
Oh God.
Good guys.
It's for the kids.
For the kids.
He hasn't gotten as many minutes as he got before the Olympics officially kicked off, but he looks massive. He's moving well. A couple of fun flashes out of the short roll, some really good rim deterrent stuff. So I'm fascinated to see what he looks like at Duke. We saw him at Hoop Summit, who's solid. But that defense and interior defense, especially with him and Cooper Flagg at Duke next year, it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm lower, but it's more of I just need a sample size. And we'll see. He's going to look very good playing next to Cooper Flagg because Cooper is going to make his life a lot easier. So I just want to see they're playing Arizona here in Tucson. So I will be going down there to get a look in person. But yeah, it's going to be a very fun year. It's going to be a very fun year.
All right.
What else you got?
Any final hot takes or predictions with the Olympics? I'm really going to go out on a limb here and predict that the USA wins gold.
Yeah, USA. Are we on the path of? I hate how they do it, round robin. Are we getting hopeful? France, USA.
I have no idea.
I just am like, if it's some way we don't get that, I'm gonna be pissed. Be very pissed.
Yeah, that'll be a bummer. I have no clue. So. Yeah.
That'd be great. Like a dream of it. Dream of it, you know? What are you watching? Movies? Did you go see The Wolverine, Deadpool? I didn't, but it's all on Twitter from every clip I've watched that basically put the movie together. I'm very excited to watch it.
It's fun. It's dumb. It's funny.
No, stop it. You can't say it's dumb. If you go to see Deadpool, you know what you're getting into.
No, exactly. Okay. I mean that like it's a dumb fun comedy action movie. I mean that as a compliment. I like Step Brothers is like a dumb comedy movie. I love Step Brothers, but you know, just some of the humor. If you go into it taking it too seriously or too much of like, oh my god, the continuity timeline, blah blah blah, you're gonna be come away nitpicking. Just be like, hey, let's have some fun today, and you're gonna.
I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan. I love the Deadpool movies. I think they're hilarious. I think like the credits when he does all that stuff is hilarious of like, hey, written by the real superheroes or like funded by some a-hole. But I've seen so many clips on Twitter going around on the line that the movie couldn't be more confusing right now. Like I have an idea of what it is, but like I just keep seeing different people pop up in the movie. And I'm like, how does this all connect? Like I'm figuring it out, but it's just funny. The Bye 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 is great. What else? What do you got?
So, just outside of Olympic basketball, any other summer watch recommendations?
FIBA U18.
Talk to me about it.
I'm a big Hugo Gonzalez guy. Not a big one. I like his name. I like the way he plays. Don't know where I have him on my board. Don't ask. Someone asked me for my big board already. I said, no, absolutely not. I was like, there's a lot of guys I like. So, FIBA U18's fun. Starting to get the itch to start watching film already, which is just terrifying. Beyond that, who else? What else we got? I don't know. It's a dangerous time because I'm trying to fill time with other things that are not basketball so I can reset. It's not going to happen anymore. I'm already watching. FIBA film just popped on my computer screen the other night. And I was like, what happened? So welcome to the machine. What about you? Just watching T-Wolves, Leonard Miller film?
Not much T-Wolves film to watch there. It's all Iowa Wolves. No, the only kind of high school film I've really started diving into is Drake Powell. Very fun. Very, very fun. Someone I'm very excited about. Next year, he's headed to North Carolina with Ian Jackson. Those two with Elliot Cadeau.
I saw some Ian scrimmage clips from North Carolina. And I
think this could be one of the most fun North Carolina teams in a while. Now, important distinction. I said fun, not necessarily good. Fun. I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I think they're going to play with a lot of pace and be a very, very enjoyable watch. And I think Powell is going to be a big reason why, too. And him playing on ball, off ball, I really, really like his game right now.
Yeah, it's the 25 class is legit. It's worth the hype, everyone. So if you're listening, also, if you're one of those people that is in the, hey, I'm selling Ace Bailey stock, please contact me immediately. I will buy everything. What a weird little vibe that is right now. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's just people that are cooler and they're like, I don't know. I have them at like 6 or 5. I'm like, I'll take it. I'll buy it right now. Can we do the stock game right now with everybody else, Metcalf? And I'll just buy all Ace Bailey.
I forgot to update. I need to update that.
We need to update that. So it's going to be such a fun year. I was like jokingly trying to be like, who would be in my top 10? And I was like, I got to like 30 guys I liked. And I was like, this is going to be vicious. So
okay, so I have a very, 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 very rough
top 10. Oh, my gosh. I just love it when you rough house. Talk to me. Let's overreact to this. Everyone can judge it. Hey, remember when we started the episode, we said 45 minutes over an hour? We're good at this. We're very good. Shout out Stephen and Max.
All right. So as of August 1st, and
I can't
needing
wait
to watch so much more film.
How much film have you watched? Like 2%?
Dylan Harper, Hugo Gonzalez, Trey Johnson, Nolan Traore, VJ Edgecombe, Drake Powell, Noah Senge, Noah, and Liam McNeely.
Noah's going to be very high up on my board. I'll tell everyone that right now. Noah's a beast. Where did you have Hugo?
4, but in that range.
Yeah, I knew it. You're such a Hugo early guy. I get it.
I haven't watched the FIBA stuff yet. So I'll get to that. I know he's struggled with some efficiency numbers. Just every time he's played, I just come away really impressed with his feel and versatility. So I just think there's a lot of upside there. Obviously, so much more to watch.
Yeah, if I'm shooting from the hip, I'm Cooper, Ace, Dylan, VJ.
Okay. VJ was so good with the Bahamas during qualifying. It's wild that he was on the court with DeAndre Ayton, Eric Gordon, Buddy Hield, and was the best player on the court for extended stretches.
Who else am I missing up there?
A lot of names. Ian Jackson, Igor Demin, Colin Murray-Boyles, who's shooting.
Nolan Traore would be up there for me. I like Trey. Don't know if I'm in on Trey that high early.
I love Trey.
If Trey's at 6-ish, I'm probably in that wheelhouse. It's going to be such a fun
game. There's so many names. And I know I forgot someone, and so, but it's August, so give me a break.
Yeah. All right. I'm just very excited, but that's all
this
I got.
This is a blast. You good?
Yeah. Great. Wrap it. Thanks for everyone cool. On YouTube that hung out with us. Everyone for the kind words during the off season too. Fantastic. Love you guys. Very excited for an upcoming year. Very excited for some upcoming episodes. We got to start talking some NBA stuff too.
Oh, we'll have plenty of NBA stuff, plenty of draft stuff, plenty more Olympic stuff. Also, go check out Maxwell's No Stone Unturned series over at NoCeilingsNBA.com. It has been very good, as always. We know it is. But make sure to go get that head start. Maxwell's pointed out a lot of guys in the past, in the summer, and calling the shot early. Don't connect being probably the biggest one, but plenty more. Go check that out. We got a ton of other work going up at the site, as always. But if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and a 5-star rating. Until next time, see ya.